We hear again from the prophet Isaiah chapter 7. And the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God, let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In the name of Jesus. Around Christmas, no words are better known in the church than those. The virgin will conceive and bear a son. You will call his name Emmanuel. And we probably remember that Emmanuel is just the Greek or the Hebrew word meaning God with us. When this Emmanuel comes, he is the child of the virgin named Mary, and then his name is given as Jesus. Jesus, we remember, is the Hebrew word meaning the Lord saves. So now we have Mary's little baby fully named. He is Emmanuel. That is, he is God in the flesh to dwell with us, and he is Jesus. That is, he is the Lord having come in the flesh, but having come in the flesh for the purpose of saving us. So what does it mean that he is God with us? Isaiah makes the extraordinary announcement to King Ahaz. There will be a virgin. Isaiah doesn't say precisely when or where, but there will be a virgin, and she will become pregnant and have a son. How will this happen? Isaiah does not unfold. He gives only one piece of description. This child will be God with us. That is, he will be human. He is, after all, son of a woman. And this child will be God, for he is God dwelling with us as man. But Isaiah doesn't seem to go further. The when, the where, the how. Isaiah seems to be happy to leave it all hanging. But the son of the virgin will be true God, and he will be God dwelling with us. So what does that mean when Isaiah gives him as God dwelling with us? It means that he will live with us in this world in a natural way. And in this way, he will share with us not only the joys, but also the sufferings. He will share in such joys as a wedding party where people are singing and dancing and drinking wine. He's right there in the middle of it all. He will share in such joys as perhaps watching Mary, his mother, smile as she roasted chicken for the family dinner, or perhaps seeing Joseph, his earthly father, smile in pride as he puts the finishing touches on a new table that he's built. The joys of birthdays, of family dinners, of new clothing, he has shared with us in all of that. And in the suffering, to come into the world as Emmanuel, God with us, means that he will share with us in the suffering that is common to every person. Laying in bed for 3 days with the flu, or sidelined with a migraine. We don't know if Jesus himself had, in particular, the flu or a migraine, or whatever other sicknesses, but he shared in the pain of a friend being sick, of a loved one throwing up, of a relative bent over with an ulcer, or he saw a friend crying when his pet dog died, or a neighbor in travail when a hard rain washed away the crop he planted the month before. God with us, Jesus, shared in all that is common to the human in this world. He shared with us also in the temptation. Common to every person, we know, is the enticement of the demons. These temptations take different forms and force for each one of us, for the demons can observe us and know us, and will tempt us in the way most harmful to each. So the demons may tempt one man most greatly to lust, another to judge those around him, another to envy his neighbor's wealth, but all are afflicted by the voice of the demons in our consciences. We're in this demonic conversation. They hold us under the guilt of the law, leading us to despair. God came to be with us in this. Jesus knows our temptation, our affliction, even better than we do. Having given himself to be tempted in every way by Satan in the wilderness. These lives of ours, these lives where we live in suffering that we know in our sinful world, where we live under suffering brought by the affliction of the devil, and where we live in our own sinful flesh, in these lives of ours, he is God with us. He joined with us in all that we are and in all that we do, though he himself has no sin. He shared with us in it all. What is the one fact common to every human that no human escapes, and that to be absent of it would be not to know what it means to be human in this world? Death. Death at the end. Maybe by violence, maybe by sickness, maybe by the weakening of age, but death. Had Jesus shared with us in everything it is to be human, the joys and the sufferings, the eating and the drinking, the laughter and the tears, had Jesus shared with us in it all, but had not died, then he would not have shared with us, and he would not have been one of us. For we are sinners, and to the sinner is assigned death. He is without sin, but he clothed himself in our sin. He came into the world holy, but he stood in for us, taking our unholiness upon himself. And as the greatest sinner of all, for he who himself has no sin bore the sin of every sinner, as the greatest sinner of all, he took upon himself what belongs to the sinner, death. A death which did not belong to him, but which he took according to his name. His name is Jesus, which means the Lord saves, and he came to save us from death. A death which, though not belonging to him, he took in its fullness, for he was taking it for every sinner, because he is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us in the deepest, most profound thing we have made ourselves to be. With us in our sin, in our fear, in our death. God with us in our humanity, in order to take it all upon himself and put it to death in his own body, his human body, on the cross. He who knows no sin is God with us as Jesus, our Lord, who is saving us. He is with us, having joined himself to us in baptism, so that just as he was clothed in our sin, he has now clothed us in his righteousness. With us in baptism, such that, as we saw in the gift given to little Bailey Marie this morning, he calls us into his church. He promises to continue teaching us all the gifts and promises of his gospel. And he gathers us into his people in the fellowship of his church. In this fellowship of the baptized, he keeps us in the faith of the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting, for he defeated death. We are body and blood humans. Now he makes himself one with us in his body and blood way, which is always to give us his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sin. In the name of Jesus, amen.